Okay, so the theme this month is faith, in a sense. It's about our God is greater. So it's beautiful, the testimony that she has shared. And so last week we started with a series or this theme that our God is greater. And we spoke about failure, the valley of failure that is, as I shared last week, it's so easy for us to, you know, life is like a, what is it? A boxing match, actually. Hollywood is wrong. And sometimes we get knocked down and we don't get up. And so that's why we're sharing this series to really equip us, to help each of us how to overcome the challenges of life. Do we face challenges? Absolutely. We all face challenges. But how you see it will determine your success in the end. So our theme scripture is Luke chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. And it says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So that's what we want to do. We want to prepare the way of the Lord. How do we prepare the way of the Lord? When you overcome the giants on the inside, when you overcome the obstacles in your own head, that's when you start preparing the way of God. It's not about winning the battles on the outside. Win the battles on the inside, and you will win the battles on the outside. I've seen this in my life. Every time I get this personal victory in my own head, in my own heart, then I start winning on the outside. And so there are these giants we need to overcome so that we can prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled. Last week we spoke about the valley of failure. Every valley shall be filled. Today we're speaking about every mountain and hill brought low. So you're standing in front of an obstacle. You're standing in front of what you would say is a mountain. It's intimidating the life out of you. How do you overcome that? How do you overcome that? So we're going to be speaking about that today. And also then the crooked places shall be made straight, the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. All flesh. Let's say with Zana, her victory becomes our victory. It becomes everyone's victory. Everyone then sees the salvation of God. Everyone sees the hand of God. When you win, other people win as well. So it's not just about you, but when you win, others win as well. So I believe God wants to raise up mighty men and women in this place. He wants to raise up mighty men and women. So I want to speak to you about the opinions of man. The opinions of man. Last week I shared, our failures speak loudly, but the word of God speaks louder. So when you've gone through a failure, you've gone through your valley, everything is speaking to you, but the word of God speaks louder. So today we're going to look at the challenge of the opinions of man. But before I get there, I just want to, how should we look at a challenge? How should we look at a challenge? This is where we perception change. I want to give you a perception change. How do you, when you see this giant in front of you, when you see this mountain, how do we respond? It's like there's this whole army attacking you from every side. They've got you in a corner and they're coming in for the kill. It is game over. What's your response? Now I have you just where I want you. That should be your response. Now I have you just where I want you. This moment is where God steps onto the scene. This is the moment. The greatest obstacles are also our greatest opportunities for victory. So when you and I face a challenge, we think, oh, I wish there wasn't this giant. Oh, I wish there wasn't this mountain. I promise you need it. You must say, thank you, God, for this obstacle. This is my greatest opportunity to grow. My greatest opportunity for victory. My greatest opportunity to succeed. I've seen this in my life over and over again. I face a season of challenges. And I'm praying night and day. And I'm like, oh, God, I wish, I don't want this. But something inside of me says, you need this. When you get through this, when you get through this, this will be your greatest victory. So in the 80s, there was a movie called Ghostbusters. Some of you weren't born yet. Ghostbusters, and there was this cool song. It says, who are you going to call when you're in trouble? Who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? Okay, let me say, if there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Come on, if there's something weird and it don't look good, who are you going to call? Come on. If you're seeing things running through your head, who are you going to call? Yes, come on. So we're going to do some ghost busting this morning. Myth busting. We're going to attack a few myths and hopefully encourage us. Whatever we're facing, God can give you the victory if we allow him to. Okay, so I'm going to take you through the biblical account of David and Goliath. Okay? Mountain of a man intimidating the armies of Israel. So I'm going to take that you through it, and then we're going to look at how to overcome the opinions of man. Okay, it says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. In verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Say, dismayed and greatly afraid. And this is often what happens. As the issue isn't the giant, the issue is the intimidation that comes with it. And you find yourself terrified, dismayed, and afraid. And so you are actually, your ability to overcome your obstacle is decreased. So in this case, we had the army of Israel, we had the army of the Philistines, both on opposite sides of these two mountains, and then you had the valley in the middle, and every day you had this mountain of a man, Goliath, coming forth towards the armies of Israel, and then he challenges them, give me a man that we may fight, the one who wins the larger battle. And so these soldiers, they were sick with fear. They were sickened, their hearts were sickened with fear. It says they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You see, and they are the same things. You have this giant coming, but we are all hearing voices. For those who didn't know, we all hear voices. Voices from people, voices from the newspapers, voices from our friends, voices from colleagues at work. There are these opinions going forth, and often they can infect our hearts and cause us to become terrified, afraid, greatly afraid, dismayed. Our hearts can become sick with fear. For instance, with family, I remember when Sonic and I, when Sonica was pregnant, you know, when you get pregnant, there's like loads of stress, you know, you're worrying about everything, you know, every facet of this little baby. And I remember the one time that I was speaking to my mom, and we're having, some time together. And then my mom started to say, oh, she heard about this other one friend of hers, child, whose baby's got Down syndrome. Have you checked for Down syndrome? Have you checked? And I'm thinking, you're not helping, okay? We're already stressed about this. You know, but those opinions can cause your heart to become sick with fear. What if, what if, what if? And so the enemy comes and he does the what if on us. What if something happens to your wife? What if something happens to your child? What if? And it can actually cause you to become sick on the inside. And so we have this scenario, the two armies. We have this Goliath, huge mountain of a man. And then we get the Ghostbuster, a young man. Who has come in to, he's like a myth buster. He comes to expose the lies. And his name was David. A young man with a dream in his heart and faith in the living God. He had faith that all of these adults didn't have. A young man, 16 years old. And so the opinions of man will try to define you and me. They'll try to define you and me. Even just magazine. Ladies, guys, when you look on these magazine covers, you know, it speaks to you. Why don't you look like this? It can try and define us, the opinions of what is beautiful, what is good looking. You know, so I remember when I was at school, I was always sort of, everybody was saying to me, I remember family, oh, hoekom eet jy nie jou pap nie? Why don't you eat your porridge? You're so thin, you know? And so along the way, 15 years later, suddenly I started to pick up some weight and I got a bit of a tummy and suddenly, oh, you're fat. You're really fat. You see, you're getting fat. I mean, where's good looking? Where is you are good looking? It's not there. It's just come thin, now you're fat. That's so irritating. So the opinions of man, they try to put us in a box and they try to steal our confidence. They're telling us things about ourselves. So now you walk into let me get honest there. You know, the Lord hasn't blessed me. He didn't bless me with massive calves or massive anything else, you know. So anyway, but I remember as a young man at school, you know, you get so self-conscious, you know, of what people have said and you're comparing and you're looking. And so I remember I was 10 years old, something like 11 years old. And I remember we were... We went to the city hall, and I think it was all the matrics coming, the matric dance, and everybody's coming. And then I was terrified of getting out because people are going to see, you know, I don't have massive calves, you know. So I didn't want to get out of the car. Amazing. You don't have issues like that, I know. So, but I remember how you can get so obsessed with a part of your own body that you don't think is up to scratch. Maybe you think you're too fat. Maybe you think you're too thin. Maybe you're too this, too that, too tall, too young, too old, too whatever. But these opinions comes and tries to define us. You know, I'm sure some of the wives would ask their husbands, honey, do I look fat? Dudes, run, eh? Just run. Don't say anything. You're not allowed to lie, eh? So, ladies, you're not fat, you're perfect, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Okay, so anyway, so the opinions of man comes and it targets our identity, our self-perception. To what? To make us self-conscious, to steal our confidence, to steal our boldness, in a sense also take our consciousness of God away. So we're not focused on God and His greatness, we're focused on me and myself, and I'm not so awesome. So the target is who you are, or who we are, and whose we are. It attacks who we are and whose we are. How great is our God? So even before the battle has begun, you become neutralized. You become terrified. Just in the sense of failures, I remember as a really small boy, 5, 6, 7 years old, I was incredibly confident. I would get onto stages at school, I would sing and do all this stuff, I would be fearless. And then at some stage, you know, all other things would set in and you lose your confidence. You put in that little box. It took me a few years to break out again. But it's so easy for us, even our failures and things, to define who we are. But so here we have David. Now he gets onto the scene. He has a different response. 1 Samuel 17, verse 23. He says, as he was talking with them, the other soldiers, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. So he would taunt them. He would belittle them. He would tell them how pathetic they are. Do you know that there's a spirit doing that? There's a spirit of this age trying to intimidate Christians. If you go onto the internet and they talk about creation, evolution, they tell how stupid Christians are. If they go into this, then you know, anything that a Christian would stand for, that we believe is good and is a godly value, they just say, you're stupid. You were stupid. You know, start attacking our identity, trying to intimidate. It's like this taunt, Goliath taunting. And so there's the spirit of this age taunting Christians, say, be quiet, sit in the corner, do not speak. Have you experienced it? I'm sure you have. So David then responded, verse 26, So David asked a soldier standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine?" David's thinking, "Yo, this is a great opportunity." And ending his defiance of Israel. Who is this pagan, uncircumcised Philistine anyway? Who does he think he is? That he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God. So David, this young man, is looking at this scenario saying, who does this guy think he is to defy? Not the armies of Israel, the armies of the living God. Who does he think he is? A young man who was looking at everything differently. How are you looking at life? Are you intimidated? Are you being defined by people at work or family that say, shut up? You know, who do you think you are? Christians are stupid, you know. Allowed to defy the armies of the living God. So David comes and says, guys, to the soldiers, do you not realize who you are? Are you the armies of the living God? Do you not know who is with you? Why are you allowing this nobody to tell you who you are and what you can do or can't do? You see, the opinions of man will try to define us, will try to put us in a box. But I want to say the word of God in our mouths will have the final say. I'm going to show you in David's mouth three times. The opinions of man came first from family, then from his leader. And then from the enemy, every time David had the final say. He took the word of God, he had it in his mouth, and he had the final say. So the opinions of man will try to define us, but the word of God in our mouths will have the final say. And the challenge is here, David was called to be king. A few years before he was prayed for, anointed, he said, you're going to be king. So each of us has a destiny. But that destiny will be opposed. It will be opposed by some form of obstacle, especially the opinions of man, the opinions of people. Okay, so let's look at family. I'm sure family has an influence on us, don't they? I remember as a student, you know, it's going well, I'm studying, I'm in good space, I go home, I feel, the devil's been waiting for me at home. It just feels everything suddenly hard and it's not working anymore and everything is just a challenge. Family, they like have our Achilles heel. They know how to press the button. Anybody experienced that? Yes, amen. Okay, so when it comes to us stepping out into our destiny, seeing the fullness, seeing the will of God be done, we will be misunderstood. The mighty, those called of God will be misunderstood. So we have David's older brother now in part of the army. And in verse 28, 1 Samuel 17:28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. He heard David speak to other guys saying, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride. I know your insolence. That's like the evil of your heart. For you have come down to see the battle. Can you imagine it? Young man, full of faith, and this violent attack by a family member saying, you insolent little twerp. I remember changing your diapers. You arrogant. You proud. Who do you think you are? So, you know, big brother, chopping down the little one. And so often family does that, you know. Family rarely will see you and me as the sons and daughters of God who are called to great things. Now, hopefully your family are Christian and then it's better. But if it's not Christian, then you're probably going to get it. I remember when I came into the ministry. And my family is very academic, and they've all got degrees, and my dad is the head of the one sort of a organization. My mom is the editor of a newspaper. And so, yeah, I'm finished my master's degree, and now I'm going into the ministry. My goodness, did I get it? I could see the disappointment on their faces every time we met. It's like, they disappointed. You know, I lost my confidence with them. because of this feeling of, you know, I remember my moms would send me emails a year, 2 years later. I'm in the ministry for a year or 2 years. She'd still send me emails of possible engineering jobs available, vacancies, you know. Have you seen this? No. But the mighty, those who are called of God, will be misunderstood. We will be accused of being proud. We'll be accused of being arrogant. When you actually want to do something, you want to make a difference, they will accuse you. That's just how it works. And they're probably going to be Christians, brothers in Christ. I've seen this over and over again. Those who persecute us the most is often believers. We get a weird idea in their heads. You know, we should all be pathetic. Be pathetic. You know, people don't like people that don't act pathetic. Then they're going to tell you you're pathetic to try and get you to be pathetic. I say no. Go jump. But you have to be bold. You have to violently stand against these opinions because they will try to define you. Who is defining you? And so then David responds. His response is there not a cause? He responds to them and say, guys, is there not a cause? Is there not a mission? I can't stand that this one little giant causes terror in the armies of the living God. I cannot stand around and allow this to happen. Is there not a cause? You see, if you don't have a cause, you'll never rise up above the opinions of people. You have a mission. You must have a mission. You must have a burning vision on the inside of you that says, this must be done. Like with Zana, she has this burning vision in her heart. This must be done. God is speaking to me. If you don't have that, is there not a cause? You're really going to battle to rise up. Get a mission. Get a cause. So man's opinions, they will amplify the problems, causes the hill to become a mountain. And we need to start saying that does not carry weight. Do you know how it works? There is evil in the world, okay? Evil wants to neutralize you and me. How does evil do it? They speak through people. So the person isn't necessarily evil, but the enemy is trying to get to you through the person. So you at work, boss says something you just can't believe. Where did that come from? That just stung. It cut you deep, okay? Cut you deep. And you need to discern immediately that is the voice of the enemy. Not the person, the voice behind it. You need to discern it and neutralize it and renounce it. I will not allow that because otherwise that word will define you. Those words will define you. You will lose your confidence. It will start putting you in a box. You know, see, if you look at Jesus' life, his family thought he was crazy. Go read it. They would come to him and they would say, we want to speak to him immediately. They thought he was crazy. His brothers would mock him and say, they didn't believe in him. And so family rarely believes on the call upon our lives as the children of God. Okay, so family would come, then a leader or boss, and yeah, the mighty will be underestimated. The mighty will be underestimated. So I shared this last week, but with my leaders, or some of my leaders, say 8-9 years ago, when I made some mistakes, they spoke to me and said to me, you don't have a calling upon your life, you don't have an anointing upon your life, you should just do admin. Now, that was the voice of the enemy trying to destroy me. But also, this was God's opportunity to mold me and form me. You see, there was a time in my life I was so dependent upon my leader's opinions. If they like me or they think I'm cool, yay. If they don't, I'm in the gutter. So I was never actually defined by my relationship with God. And so you must break out. You cannot allow people to define who you are. Either if it is someone in authority or even a pastor, I cannot have faith for you. Sometimes, yes, we can help some. We can stand together. Yes, I'm going to help. Believe you now. You don't have faith. I'm going to help. But in general, your leader can't have faith for you. You must have faith. They're not going to be there when you're on the battlefield. You must have faith. So I remember when we were sent here to East London, I told other people, I must have faith to come to East London. I know my leadership, they're not going to be here when I'm here. I must have faith. You must have faith. So anyway, so Samuel 17, verse 32 to 33. He came to his leader, King Saul. Now David said, I'm going to take him down. Saul, King Saul, I will take him down. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are not able, for you are a youth and a man of war from his youth. Imagine the king of the land telling you, you, my little boy, are not able. You're a nobody. Most of us will start dreaming, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, you're correct, sir. I'm so sorry for being silly, sir. I'm gonna go home now, sir. Not a man full of faith. Not a young man full of faith who has seen something, a greater reality that nobody else was seeing. Even the king of the land didn't see it, but he saw it. What are you seeing? Are you seeing this? And then, beautiful quote. It said that David killed the lion and the bear when no one was watching. And it qualified him to beat Goliath when two nations were watching. So David counters now. He says to the king in verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, meaning God is not with him, will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. So firstly, is there not a cause, a greater cause than what's happening right here? Secondly, testify of what God has done in your life. I find when you face a challenge, all we see is we see the challenge. We forget what God has brought us through already. So David spoke to King Saul and said, I have killed the lion, I have killed the bear. He's just a little bit bigger. I'm going to take him down. And so in the same way, if we remember what God has brought us through, we remember that hill and that hill, this mountain, just a little bit bigger. Let's do this. But we lose perspective. We lose perspective when we face our challenge. How do you keep perspective? Celebrate what God has done in your life. Put it in your mouth. Tell somebody, tell your spouse, tell your friends. Make a point of celebrating what God has done. Wow, God brought us through that. Wow, God brought us through that. Wow, God's doing this. Celebrate, are you? Place of thanksgiving. Celebrate what God is doing. Testify. The power of a testimony, it releases faith. You see, fear is like sickness. It's infectious, fear. It's infectious. Faith is infectious as well. If you begin to step in faith, if you start sharing what God has done, you create an environment where others can believe as well. That's why we try to share stories of what God has done. And then we must celebrate it. We must celebrate. We must rejoice. Imagine a church where we have a culture of faith. David kind of faith. Imagine a culture with which David created. He had his mighty men. They were a bunch of misfits, nobodies. 300 of them, they became mighty men. He created an environment where these guys started to say, the rest of the world saying, I'm a misfit, I'm an idiot, I'm a loser. But these guys say, I'm someone. Let's take down the giants. Let's take down the obstacles in our way. Okay, so leaders, bosses, people in authority, they can destroy if you allow them to. Don't receive opinions that do not agree with the will of God. Then thirdly, ending off with this. Then the enemy. Now in David's case, the enemy was mistaken about who he was fighting. Goliath thought he was fighting a boy. Actually, he was fighting Almighty God. It's the same for you and me. We don't walk into a difficult environment or scenario alone. We walk in with Almighty God backing us, walking with us. And so what is the response then? Prophesy. Speak the destiny of this obstacle. Verse 45 to 46. This is the key. How do you bring God into play, into a difficult scenario? How do you bring God onto the scene? Well, you start off by knowing there is a cause. Is there not a cause? Secondly, you start testifying of the goodness of God, of what God has done. You build up your confidence. You focus your eyes on what God is doing and has done. And then thirdly, you prophesy. You speak. Then David said to the Philistine, okay, so now they're going to fight. David went to get his few stones in the river. And now he's running at this Philistine. And before this, the Philistine cursed him by his gods. The Philistine would tell him how he's going to kill him and how he's going to do all these things. Then David said to the Philistine, last words in his mouth, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." You not just defied us, you've defied Almighty God. "This day," I'm prophesying, "this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air." Guys, don't you just love this stuff? This is good. Carcasses to the camp. Yeah, blood and guts. Awesome. Gotta love this guy. "And the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know." Let's just say that. "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And so David had the final say. You see, whatever obstacle you are facing, whatever challenge you are facing, you need to prophesy to that obstacle. You need to speak in the Spirit to that obstacle. You need to start declaring the destiny and the will of God. "I'm going to take you down. This mountain, you're going to move. These accusations, this nonsense, I renounce this in Jesus' name." You know, it's so easy. It's like with us. You know, the first few years here, I've been building great relationship with pastors and guys, and there's awesome men of God in this city. But I've had now a chat a few times with pastors, and then I find myself being accused. Now I'm thinking this man is a godly man, a wonderful church, awesome guy. I mean, we just speak well of you guys. And then I find myself in a scenario with somebody accusing us of things that are not true. Stealing sheep or doing this or doing that. And I had to realize this is not God speaking here. This is something that wants to intimidate me to say, "Sorry, sir. Sorry. Do you know how it feels to plant a church? It's intimidating. You drive here in East London, you see all these big buildings. I remember when we came here 5 years ago, driving around thinking, "What's a big building? I'm so freaking intimidated. You know, what are we trying to do here?" I heard this voice saying, "You're wasting your time. What are you trying to do here? We don't need a shofar here." I'm thinking, well, God said to me to come, and I'm just going to obey God. But you see, you have the opinions of people saying, be a nobody. Don't be bold. Don't be confident. Don't take down your giant. Sorry, we're going to take down our giant. Your faith will be challenged. And even believers might be your greatest obstacle and your greatest persecutors. I've seen this. And I think that's the hardest when it's a believer, when it's a Christian, that's saying things about you that are not true. And so we must be like David. We must see the bigger picture. We must see Almighty God. And we just obey Him. And so we alter our environment. You see, the opinions of man will try to define us, but it's the word of God in our mouth that will have the final say. So I was wanting to say, I didn't say it, but I was wanting to say to this pastor, so we upset you. Our church, our little church upsets you. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Now you can say that's arrogant. Or I can say, no, I'm hearing from God. I'm hearing from God. I'm hearing from God that God is wanting this church to have an impact on this city. And it's going to offend some people. But we're going to be humble. And we're going to honor others. And we're going to love people, whoever they might be. If that offends you, so be it. But I'm going to take down my giant. I'm going to see the kingdom come. And it's irrelevant what the opinions of man are. I only care what God says. And so God needs to move each of us to that place where there's this boldness that does not come because people like us. That's why Facebook is such a challenge. Didn't get so many likes. So what? Okay? God likes you. And that's what counts. Let's not succumb to that culture of somebody didn't like me. They're not going to like you when you follow God. Make a peace with it. And as part of that growth process, this giant is my ticket to great victory. So let's look at our challenges in a different way and say, I'm going to take you down. Okay, so to summarize, get a burning vision. Is there not a cause? Secondly, start testifying of everything you can think of in your life that God has done. Forget what he's not doing. Testify what he is doing. And then thirdly, start prophesying. Start prophesying. Start prophesying daily. I get up every morning and I start prophesying. I start declaring the will and the word of God. Today is going to be a good day. Today God is with me. Today is this and this and this. Do the same. Wherever you are, classroom, I said it a few weeks ago as well. Teachers, prophesy to your kids. Tell them you're going to submit and you're going to like it. If you win the victory in the spirit, you're going to win it in the natural. If you win the victory in your own heart, you're going to win it in the natural. The enemy wants to intimidate us. Next week, we're going to be talking about intimidation. Sonic is going to be sharing about intimidation. Last verse I want to read, Acts 3, verse 6 to 8. The book of Acts, there's Peter, there's this amazing revival that's come. And then Peter and John, they're walking to the temple. And then they see a man paralyzed from birth. And they look at how then Peter prophesies. He said, silver and gold. If he said, look at me. And then the guy looked at him and he said, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now I want to say this to us spiritually and emotionally. In your heart, I want to say some of us have been paralyzed in our identity. Some of us have been since birth. Aspects of who we are that we don't like. Paralyzed. Peter prophesied, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. Now if God can cause a physical man to walk, surely he can, inside he can bring life to our identities. Confidence to our lives. That we can take down the giants. Hallelujah. Just want to pray for us. God, we bless you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we thank you that you are bringing a shift on the inside of us, a confidence, a God confidence. A God confidence. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that we can speak to each one here this morning, Lord God, and say, rise up and walk. Rise up and believe. Rise up and pursue the mission God has given you to pursue. Lord, we thank you that we can renounce every ungodly word that's been spoken over us, either by family, even Christian brothers or sisters, leaders, people in authority, and even enemies. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that we'll become like young David, a man of faith, a man who saw as things truly were, in the light of the greatness of the Almighty. And so, Lord, we pray for a release of faith upon this house. A release of faith that we may see as David saw, that we may believe as he believed. For with God, all things are possible. For with God, all things are possible. For with God, all things are possible. Lord, we pray that where our hearts have been infected with fear and intimidation and lies, Lord, that you'd come and heal our hearts and bring faith in the name of Jesus. May we shake off the clothing of shame and guilt and accusations. May we say, God is with me. God is with us. I'm going to take you down. Father, in the name of Jesus, come and awaken us to what real faith is. And so, Lord, we realize we will be misunderstood. We will be underestimated. And people might not realize that God is with us. But that's okay. For you are with us. If you realize that you need healing in your identity, or people have said things about you that were not the will of God, and you still feel it's affecting you in some way, then I just want you to stand. I'm not going to call you forward. I just want you to stand. I want to take a stand. Take a stand against the lies. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we bless you. If you feel that your heart has become sick with fear, then also just stand. Fear in your life. Take a stand in the Spirit. Take a stand. God, we worship you. We declare it, Lord God, that the opinions of man will try to define us, but it's the word of God in our mouth that will have the final say. The final say. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we speak a release right now over your people. A release of words that have been spoken against them. Things that have been said. In the name of Jesus, we renounce it. We renounce fear. And we renounce every ungodly word. Let's just all say it together. The following. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I declare you define me. Your word defines me. In Jesus' name, I renounce every fear. In the name of Jesus, I renounce every ungodly word that's ever been spoken over my life. I take those thoughts captive in Jesus' name, and I welcome right now faith, belief. Lord, fill my heart with faith. The same faith that David had. Give me that faith, Lord. In Jesus' name I receive. We worship you, God, and say, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.